Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Horsham.
Good morning. Praise the name of the living Jesus. Thank you very much, Pastor Colin, for having me speak. Thank you very much, and even to Pastor Clive and Pastor Jenny in absentia and all the leadership of the church. Praise the Lord. Now, we've been going through a series to do transformation, and I was just thinking something this morning, that when you think about formation or spiritual formation, it is not just an event, it's a process. And when we use the word transformation, trans means changing or going through or moving from one place to another. And I was thinking that many of us will be going through a series of formations, as the Bible says, as we move from one level of glory to another and as we move from one level of grace to another. How many of you know that a butterfly is not just a beautiful caterpillar? It has to go through a process. And it doesn't get bitter through the process, it gets better. So I don't know what God is going to take you through as we continue with this series, or what God has been taking you through, but I want to charge you today by the word of God that don't get bitter at the process, become better through the process. Praise the name of Jesus. Now, I remember sometimes I was going through something, and I shared with some people, and allow me to single you out, Eric Cole. He encouraged me, and he told me, you must persevere, because the Bible says that perseverance must finish its work so that the man of God may be complete, lacking nothing. So many of us don't get formed, we don't get transformed, because we look for shortcuts. We short circuit what God is trying to do. We try to look for the nearest exit out of what God is trying to do in our lives. And guess what? We have to go back to start again, and the Lord has to remake and remold us until we attain and we are formed to the image of Christ that He wants to form in us. So as you go through this series, some of them will be a little bit, ouch, that hurts. But I promise it won't hurt for long, because God is going to take you through something. So today we are talking about submission. And the title of my teaching today is Spirit-Led Submission. Spirit-Led Submission as part of the formation series that we are going through. For those who don't know me, my name is Victor, and I am a born-again Christian, and I love the Lord so much. And I love being part of the family here. For the many years that I've been in Kingdom Faith, one thing that being a member of this family has taught me is to be authentic in my Christian walk with God. No hang-ups. And if you like, no hangovers. Just being real with your faith and with Jesus. And that is so important, because I think we are living at a time when the true sons of God need to stand up and show up. And being a part of this family has molded me into having a very authentic walk with God. Now, I want to go through some verses, but just before that, I want to say that if you intend to be successful in life, then you must walk in submission. If you want to have a fruitful walk in your Christianity, then you must submit somewhere. And what I like about this theme of formation and the things that you've been talking about, they are not just a discipline that, they're not just disciplines that we are learning as Christians, as disciples, but they are principles that don't just apply in our spiritual work, but wherever they are applied, they work. That is the beautiful thing. I remember when I taught about prayer, I say that prayer is not a preserve of Christianity. There are many other religions that pray, and pray seriously, and pray more than Christians pray. So submission is not just a discipline that is a preserve of Christians, but wherever submission is applied, then there has to be a change. Submission was the secret behind the power that Jesus did here, showed here on earth. The Bible says that He said, I do not do anything apart from what I see my Father do. I don't speak anything of myself apart from what my Father says I speak. In fact, at one time He said that, Father, not my will, but your will be done. So he submitted. The Bible says that Jesus was full of the power of the Holy Spirit. So the miracles we saw, the wonderful works we saw, Luke says in the book of Acts of the Apostles that God filled him with the power of the Holy Spirit, and he went about doing good and delivering all those who were oppressed by the power of Satan. So Jesus' power depended so much so on his submission to the Father, submission to the leading of the Holy Spirit, so that he could fulfill his purpose here on earth. The problem we have today is that many of us want to be like what Pastor Clive was teaching the other day. We want to lead ourselves. We want to do things with our own thinking. We want to do things based on our own strength. But if there is something I have come to learn, the easiest way to fail in life is to do things in your own strength. There is a hymn that we used to sing many years ago. I grew up in an environment where we used to sing hymns. And there is a hymn known as Stand Up for Jesus. Anyone knows that hymn? Oh, brilliant. Stand Up for Jesus. So there is a verse there that says that stand up for Jesus and stand not in your strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. Try parenting in your own strength and your own psychology. Let's see how far you will go. Try doing Christianity the way you see other people do it, the way you see it being displayed on TV. Let's see how far you will go. Unless you submit to the leading of the Holy Ghost, you will not make it. And I say that with utmost humility. I know we have people here who are educated, probably doctors and professors, but education can only take you so far. There are people who have money, and I know their bank accounts are looking very glorious, but there is as far as your money will take you. You have to submit to the leadership of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus mastered everything he went through because he was fully submitted to the Father. Now, I want to say something else, that nobody is successful beyond their point of submission. And I say this because submission has everything to do with humility. There is a verse I love in the Bible, maybe God granting us an opportunity, we shall read it towards the end, where the Bible says that God opposes the proud. Some battles we fight in life, it is not the devil. I am a Holy Ghost filled, tongue speaking, believer, demon casting, but I say some battles we fight in life, sometimes it is not the devil. It is God opposing you. God opposes the proud. But he gives grace to the humble. So there is a point beyond which you cannot go unless you are submitted. But unfortunately, in the ages past and in many cultures and even in many societies and even in the history of church, submission has been made to look like subjugation. And there is something I want to clear out before I move on and delve straight into the Word of God. When we hear submission, before I go there, I want to say this, that the fallen man by nature is defiant. The fallen man by nature is rebellious. In November here, I taught about the new nature. And I said when you have the soul and you have the flesh that is not led by the Spirit of God, then we have a carnal man. So we have a carnal man who is a believer but not led of the Spirit of God. And we have the natural man who is not yet regenerated. And by nature, the carnal man and the natural man, we are defiant. We are rebellious because we have not yet been aligned with what God is doing in our lives. And therefore then, we find that when it comes to the word submission, many of us, whenever we hear the word submission, we hear of being subdued. We think of being subjugated. We think of someone exerting their will over us, and therefore we tend to push back and rebel. Yes. It is a natural reaction. And therefore then, because of the history we've gone through and because of what has been done many times in the history of the church, we find that we don't want to talk about submission. And I will be touching some things that I like calling earth wires. I'll be touching on some live wires. I'll be touching on some raw nerves. But we have to talk about these things if we have to form. The word discipleship cannot be discipleship without discipline. That's right. All right? So therefore, I want to first of all preempt and say that some of the verses I will talk about are what were known as the household codes. in the Greco-Roman Empire in the New Testament. And when Paul talks about them, for those of you who've studied theology, you might have touched on the household codes. And the household codes, unfortunately, for a long time in the history of the church, have been used to subdue and to overcome and to deal very cruelly and to torture some people, especially women, and unfortunately during slavery time on the slaves. And these verses, we have to understand them most importantly in the context within which they were written. I know it's not a Bible study today, but I would prefer that, you know, if you do your own study, don't just read the Bible, study the Bible. There are ways of interpreting scriptures. And one of the most important ways of interpreting scriptures is not to divorce the text from its original context. Because if you get the content but not the context, you are most likely to end up with a wrong interpretation. Now, a wrong interpretation leads to a wrong application. And I want to say this without the fear of contradiction, that to the extent that any person uses the Bible to subdue and to subjugate any other person, to that extent they are in error. It doesn't matter their name, their title, their position. The Bible is very clear. If any person uses the word of God to do something that is antithetical or contrary to the finished work of Jesus Christ, I dare say today by the power of the word of God that they are in error. It is for freedom that Christ set us free. Yes. Hallelujah. And so therefore it is important when we apply contextual theology in our own lives that we be careful how we interpret the word of God. And I'm calling everyone here today to be a student of the word of God. If there is any Bible study somewhere, attend the sessions. If there is any Bible school that is spirit-led and Christ-centered, attend and be taught the word of God. Praise the name of the Lord. I was reading somewhere about the revivals that have happened in the world, and there are some two revivalists that I've loved. Someone like Jonathan Edwards, who was being used of God in the 1700s in the Great Awakening in America. Yet this is one person who kept slaves and believed that it's the word of God, that he should be a master of slaves, and he was actually very heavy-handed on them. And I can give you a few other people, but that still does not negate the fact that God wants us to walk in freedom. Hallelujah. Yes. Galatians 5, verse 26 to verse 28. I'll be saying some verses and I believe they'll be projected on the screen for me. I have used various versions based on what I want to communicate. Galatians 5, 26 to 28, the Bible says, "You have all become true children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Faith immersed you into Christ, and now you are covered and clothed with his life. And we no longer see each other in our former state, Jew or non-Jew, rich or poor, male or female, because we are all one through our union in Christ Jesus." So in other words, what Paul is trying to do here is to counter some people who are called Judaizers, who came and tried to tell people that they have to live in a certain way and to subjugate some people, that saying that the gospel is not for these people, it's for these other people. But I'm just saying these verses just to emphasize the fact that in Christ Jesus, we are all equal. I know that might not sit very comfortably with everybody, but we are going to unpack that as we move on. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. The Bible says, Luke 4, 18. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon him." It's Jesus who's giving his mission statement. "Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." So the Bible cannot be talking about freedom and then it be talking about submitting as being oppressed. Are we together so far? And I'm going to give you one more. Galatians 5 and verse 1. If you've done freedom course, you know that this is a key verse. "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery." So I want to say under the authority of God's word that submission does not mean subjugating. It does not mean that you have to exert your will upon other people and that you have to be cruel and you have to be torturous or torturous to them. Submission is a matter of humility. Praise the name of the Lord. So therefore then, just before I move on to my main part of my message, I want to say when we find those household codes, some of which I will talk about, submitting, for example, wives to husbands and employees to employers, etc., we need to understand the key principle in the Word of God. And the principle here is about function and not position. Are we together? It is about function and not position. Maturity in Christian discipleship should take us doing things out of obligation to a place where we do things out of conviction and revelation. Let me repeat that. That maturity in Christian discipleship should take you to a place where you do not do things out of obligation, but you do things out of conviction and revelation. And that is why it is important that we get taught the principles and the disciplines of the Word of God. I'll give you a very simple discipline: giving. If you are not well taught how to give, you will give out of obligation. You will give because you're taught to give. But if you do it from a place of revelation and conviction, then you will receive the blessings thereof. So what is submission? Submission means to align oneself under the authority of another. It means to align oneself under the authority of another. In other words, it is an active action. I told you English is my fourth language. I don't know if that order is correct. It's an active thing that I am doing. I am not passively receiving it. So not someone exerting their will on me. It is me surrendering my will and being aligned to another person's authority. Now, the Greek word used for submission, and I don't like saying these words so that I can sound learn it or make it complicated, is hypotesomai. Of course, now Greek might be my seventh or eighth language, which means to arrange in a military order. For those of you who have served in the military, you know what it is like to be in an order, how to obey a chain of command. And this is the Word of God, that submission, the word used here, means to arrange like you arrange in a military order. And there are two dimensions of submission. Dimension number one is servanthood. Servanthood. So how does submission under servanthood look like? The Bible gives a very interesting story here from the book of Romans chapter 16, verse 1 to verse 5. I'm going to read that. So I'm going to talk about three or four things that show servanthood as an act of submission. Number one is submitting one to another, submitting to each other. I want us, first of all, to agree on one thing, that we are all members of one body. All right? Can you, first of all, for a moment, just pause and think that if your spirit was willing to come to church and your legs were able to carry you, all of that, but your hand said, I'm going to stay at home and make my Sunday roast. How would that have happened? So we are agreeing, before I move on, that we are members of one body. Okay, brilliant. That's important to hold as a constant. Romans 16, verse 1 to verse 5. I'm going to read from the Truth Version. Talks about a story here. So Paul is coming to the end of, almost the end of his letter, and he's sending some greetings, and there is a sister here by the name of Phoebe. In fact, it is argued that Phoebe actually delivered the letter to the Romans, but let's see what the Bible says. Romans 16, verse 1 to verse 5. Phoebe is about to visit you, and I want you to receive her in a way that will bless the Lord. Hallelujah. I like that. Receive her in a way that will bless the Lord. Have you ever gone to some places and the way you are received, you're like, oh my goodness. You are more of tolerated than received. You know, someone say that you go where you are celebrated, not where you're tolerated. So Romans 16. So Phoebe is about to visit you, and I wanted to receive her in a way that will bless the Lord. She is our sister in faith and a servant of the church in Cenchreae, or whatever you pronounce that word. So I am sure you will treat her in a worthy manner as befits the saints of God, and that you will help her in any way necessary. She is herself a wonderful servant and has helped many others, including me. Give my greetings to Priscilla and Aquila. They have been fellow workers with me in Christ Jesus. They even risked their lives for me. All the churches among the nations are thankful to God for them, as I am myself. Now, let's get the content here and the context I'm in. So we have Paul, who is the chief apostle. And Paul here is somewhere and he is sending some information to a church. And he talks about three people in particular. The first person is a lady by the name Phoebe. And Phoebe was a deaconess in the church. And Paul gives her tribute. Even though I am an apostle, even though I am used by God to do miraculous deeds, even though I am used to make the gospel penetrate to the Gentiles, there is a person of a lowly position than I am, whose function was so important that I could not have been effective without their function. And he says, I want you to receive her in a way that will bless the Lord, because she is a servant in the church. She was serving Paul and she was serving the church. And he says, I'm sure you will treat her in a manner that is in a worthy manner as befits the saints of God, and you will help her in any way necessary. She is a wonderful servant. What can be said of you in the church today? Is there a testimony that people can give to God when they are praying about you and say, remember brother so-and-so, the way they serve so effectively in the church? And I'm not guilt-tripping anybody here. In fact, if you read in the Acts of the Apostles, there is a woman who died. And when she died, the people came to Peter and they said to the apostles, see the works she used to do. And the apostles were moved and the lady was raised back to life. Can your service to God testify on your behalf? A man, a king by the name of Hezekiah, a message came from God and he was told that put your house in order because you're coming home. And the Bible says when he received the message, he turned to the wall and he prayed to God and he said, God, remember how I have faithfully served you. And the prophet had not even gone beyond the front door. The word of the Lord came back to the prophet and he said, go back in there. Tell him I have heard his cry and I have added to him 15 years. Can your work testify for you? And then there was Priscilla and Aquila. Now, Priscilla and Aquila were Paul's business partners. They were tent makers. And when Paul established the church in Ephesus, they were left in Ephesus as the elders to help young Timothy, who was a pastor there. And they did a lot of other work, even in Corinth and many other places. But they were so devoted in behind-the-scenes ministry. They are the ones who mentored young people. When Apollos was preaching a gospel that was not fully complete, the Bible says they called him aside, they instructed him in the ways of the Lord, and Apollos became effective in ministry. When Paul was about to be killed, the Bible says that these couple risked their own life to save the life of Paul. I'm talking about servanthood, submitting one to another. Yes, I am an elder. I know you are the apostle. Yes, you are the leader, and I am just but the least of you. But I'm going to serve you in the way that God wants me to serve you so that you can fulfill your mission. And I'm not just talking about leadership, because I'm going to come to that in just a moment. It is about a mutual submission, one to another. The hand submitting to the legs. The legs submitting to the nose. Just imagine if your nose decided, I'm not going to breathe for the rest of the year. You'll be going to ENT clinics. It is the body working together as a corporate being, mutually submitting each to the other and recognizing the gifts and the talents that we have. We are not the same. If we were all the same, life would be very boring. Some of us are loud. Some of us are not so loud. Some of us are, you know, we are all very, very, very different. And God wants us to use our gifts and our talents and our abilities to serve one another. So mutual submission is a call to recognize the differing functions of authority that God has established. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 40, the Bible says, let all things be done decently and in order. Ephesians 5 and verse 21, the Bible says, submit to one another out of the reverence of Christ. I might have my PhDs and I am called upon to sweep the church. I will sweep the church because I am submissive. Hallelujah. You might be all that you are, for example, in the corporate world, but when you come to church, you submit yourself and say, I am going to submit out of reverence to Christ. Philippians 2, verse 3 to verse 4, the Bible says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Let me tell you the greeting that will be in heaven. Welcome home, good and faithful bishop. Welcome home, good and faithful apostle. Welcome home, good and faithful millionaire. Welcome home, good and faithful this and that. No, it's welcome home, good and faithful servant. That is what I look forward to. When I go home and I find Jesus there waiting for me, I'm not dying soon. Don't say I'm dying soon. But when I go home and I find Jesus waiting for me and say, welcome home, good and faithful servant. Matthew 20, 25 to 28 says, the greatest one among you will live as the one who is called to serve others, because the greatest honor and authority is reserved for the one with the heart of a servant. For even the Son of Man did not come expecting to be served, but to serve and give his life in exchange for the salvation of many. So the call to submit, and I'm not going to expand more on service, maybe it will happen somewhere else down the line, but you cannot serve if you're not walking in love. You cannot submit if you're not walking in love. You cannot submit if you don't honor another person. You have to honor each other as members of the same body. It doesn't matter what our differences are. You submit through love. You submit through honor. Praise the name of the Lord. The next point I want to talk about is mutual submission within a household. So we have agreed that some of the texts I'm just about to cite are what were known then as the household code. And the Bible gives a very clear picture. Please allow me not to read. You can jot it down. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Read all the way to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. So Paul is talking about submission. And he says a number of things. Number one, not only are we supposed to submit to Christ, who is the head of the body, but we are supposed to submit to each other. And then he says that husband and wives need to submit one to the other. Thank you very much for having that. So husband and wives need to submit one to another, even as each individually and then corporately, in law we say joint and severally, submit to Christ. So the wife submits to Christ, the husband submits to Christ, both of them as a family submit to Christ, and then they submit to each other. So instead of thinking about I am the head. Of course, submission is about headship, and I'm going to come to that in just a moment. You know that I am called to submit to my wife, Emma, and she is called to submit to me as well. And I cannot exert my will over her, treating her less than what God has called her in terms of walking in freedom and as a fellow saint and a fellow heir of the kingdom of God. I submit to her, she submits to me. Are we together? I like the late Dr. Miles Munro. He said something very important. And he said, in any family relationship, if you don't like what you are receiving, then you've got to change what you're giving. And he argues that God has ordained women to receive, to incubate, and multiply. We give them a seed, they give us a baby. You give them a house, they give you a home. You give them groceries, they give you a meal. You give them joy and happiness, and then you have a little heaven down here. And then you give them frustration, and you know what you get. So that is mutual submission. And then number two, he calls the husband to sacrifice for the wife. Not to sacrifice to the wife, to sacrifice for the wife. And he says, serve your wife. Love and lay your life down just the way Christ laid his life down for the church. And how is the wife supposed to respond? The wife is supposed to respond the same portion of scriptures through submission and respect. There are times, and I will say this with utmost humility, we get into a deadlock between my wife and I over some decisions. And I say, under the God-given authority as the head of this home and as a priest in this house, this, I believe, is the way we go. And that is why I'm calling this spirit-led submission. I am not exerting my will over her will. She has given me her mind. In fact, I dare say this, that my wife is a very good financial planner. So if we want money in our family to go in a good way, I know where to go. I know how to submit to her and to listen to her voice when she talks about investments. So I am submitting to her, but at times there has to be some direction and there has to be leadership, and I cannot abdicate that God-given responsibility. Are we still together so far? Then number three, children, the Bible says we are to obey, honor, and respect our parents. In fact, the Bible says that this is the first commandment with a promise. And what is the promise? That you may live long on this earth. I dare ask, how many of us obey, respect, and honor our parents? And how are the parents supposed to respond? The Bible says, do not provoke your children to anger, but discipline them. That means that you train, instruct, and disciple them. Praise the name of the Lord. So that is mutual submission within a household. I move on to my next point. Submission also means submitting to spiritual leadership. I have not been paid. No money has been poured for me to do a campaign for Pastor Colin or Pastor Clive. But I have to say, as long as we have God-ordained leadership in the church, we have to submit to them. There are no ifs, no buts. It's an absolute. And I will show you why. Hebrews 13 and verse 17, the Bible says, obey your leaders and submit to them. Amen. It is not a suggestion. It is an instruction and a command. For they are keeping watch over your souls. You don't know how much anguish they have in their hearts when a member of the flock is hurting. The pain they have to go through as they travail and pray and seek God on your behalf. The Bible says, as those who will have to give an account, one day Colin will stand before God and account and say, God, this is how I have stewarded the congregation you have given me. Therefore, God expects you to obey him. I didn't hear so many amens. There's a little bit of some people being blessed here. This side and this side is very quiet. I pray that the Holy Ghost will make you a little bit. Right. And he says, let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. And today, in the name of Jesus, we pray for your forgiveness if you've not been submissive to the leadership. The next submission. Submitting to employers. I'm going to combine these and come and wrap it up. Hebrews 6, 5 to 7. The Bible says, Hebrews 6, 5 to 7. And what should your attitude be in the workplace? Show a good, obedient attitude towards those who are in authority over you. Respect them and the position they hold, and do this sincerely from your heart, even in the same way you would obey Christ, your heavenly Father. If you regard what you do at work as serving the Lord rather than men, then you will do it wholeheartedly with a good heart attitude. You cannot be non-submissive to your boss. And you come to the church here and lift up your holy hands and tell us you're submissive to God. God has instructed you to submit to God. So submission, as you see here, is the outworking of a truly humble heart. It doesn't make you any less of what you are. Submission is meekness, and meekness is strength under authority. You submit yourself willingly. It is not begrudging obedience. I know I am submitting and I'm obeying because I love God and I love who God has put in place. Praise the name of the Lord. And the last point, as I invite the band on stage, is surrender. The Bible says, James chapter 4 and verse 7, surrender to God. The Bible says, submit ye therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. But look at that sequence, submit to God, then resist the devil and he will flee. You cannot successfully wage spiritual warfare if you're not submitted to God. You've got to submit to the rulership of God. You've got to submit to the authority of God's word if you've got to draw near to God. Praise the name of Jesus. So submission is a joyful and happy abandonment to the will of God. There is a Bible story of a woman called Hannah. And the Bible says that Hannah waited for a long time for her miracle. We'll not read it. It's 1 Samuel chapter 1. You can read it later. She waited for a long time for her miracle. And she almost lost her mind because of the mockery she was going through. She endured years, probably decades of mockery and almost had a nervous breakdown. And now when God gives her a miracle and gives her the joy, fulfillment, and validation she prayed for a long time, 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 27, the Bible says, she said, I prayed for this child and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord. This is the miracle she had always wanted. But why would she come to this point of saying, I will give him right back to God, to relinquish that which meant so much to her? It is because of surrender. What was in her heart was, Lord, I asked for it from you. You've given it to me. I'm going to give it back to you because you are more than enough for me. It is not so much about what we receive from God, but receiving God himself. Hallelujah. And she submitted and yielded herself to the will of God. You will give God anything in your life when you believe that he is everything in your life. I remember one time during the faith camp, Apostle Colin Urquhart said that you and everything that belongs to you belong to God. And that was like an electric ball that went right through my body that moment. That myself, everything I have, we belong to God. And that it makes me come to a point whereby I say that, Lord, not my thoughts anymore, but your thoughts. I am submitted to your will, O God. Job chapter 13 and verse 15, I surrender. Job chapter 15 and verse 13, verse 15, the Bible says, even though you slay me, Lord, even though you kill me, even though you deal with me in whatever manner you want to deal with me, I will still resign my will to your sovereignty. I will still trust you, O God. Even though you take me through the valley of the shadow of death, God, I will still praise you. I will still trust you. Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 17 to verse 19. Habakkuk looked and said that even though the fig tree does not blossom and there is no fruit in the vine, though the yield of the olive fails and the field produce no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold and there are no cattle in the stalls, yet I will choose to rejoice in the Lord. I will choose to shout in exultation in the victorious God of my salvation. I am not after the blessings, I'm after his will in my life. You will never enjoy the purpose of God in your life unless you submit yourself to him. You will never enjoy the purpose of God in your marriage unless you submit your marriage to him. Hallelujah. And if he is the Lord, he must be the Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. He wants a VIP access card to all areas in your life. Stand up on your feet in the name of Jesus. And many of us are saying, Lord, I will follow you, but I will keep my money. You know, we're just about to sing a song. And as you sing this song, I don't want you to lie to God. Because believers, we don't lie. We just sing the songs out. And in singing, we lie to God. That I surrender all to you. And then you're told that we are contributing towards buying new chairs. And you hold your wallet. Get thee behind me, Satan. You have to surrender to God in every way. I will follow you, Lord. But don't ask me to forgive that person who hurt me. They don't deserve it. I will follow you, Lord, but don't ask me to be formed. Don't ask me to be transformed. Don't ask me to change. No, I came to tell you that whoever wants to save their life, they will lose it. But whoever loses their life, they will save it. Father God, we thank you. We glorify your name. We worship you, Jesus. And as we lift up our hands, Lord, today that is a declaration of our hearts. We withhold nothing from you. In you we live, in you we move, in you we have our being. We surrender all to you in the name of the Lord. And maybe we can all put our hands down. Maybe you're here and you're not born again with every eye closed, every head bowed. And you're saying, Lord, I surrender to you. My life that I am, that I live, is not yours. You are here and you're not saved. And you're saying, Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I would like you to show me by your hand and just wave it to me so that we can pray with you. You're not saved and you'd like to give your life to Jesus. Is there anybody like that? I see a few hands lifted up. I don't know if it's in response or in worship. But if you're here and you're saying, I surrender all to you, or you're watching us via live stream, I want you to say this prayer after me. Father, I come to you. I recognize that I am a sinner in need of forgiveness. And this day, I willingly surrender to you. Thank you for saving me through the sacrifice of Jesus. And this day, I appropriate it into my life. I confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Today, I surrender all. I am saved. Amen. Amen. And if you've made that prayer, I would like to urge you at the end of the service, just come and see the leadership here, and they are going to talk to you and they're going to pray with you. And right now, I want to pray for every sick body in the building or watching us via live stream. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke every sickness. I command every sick body to align to the finished work of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke the spirit of infirmity. I rebuke the spirit of disease. I rebuke whatever the name of the diagnosis be, in the name of Jesus. As you are worshiping, the Lord put something in my heart from the book of John, chapter 11 and verse 4, that this sickness is not unto death, but that the glory of God may be seen. I don't know who has received a terminal diagnosis in the past few weeks. Right now, in the authority of God's word, we rebuke the spirit of death. You will not die. You will not die. You will not die, but you will live. Proclaim the goodness of the Lord in the name of Jesus. Be healed. Be healed. Receive your healing in the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.